I was having a hard time thinking of a children's sermon today. I've been preparing for it, and I was like, I can't think of anything. So I kind of thought about what happened this weekend. I had to go to a funeral in Vancouver of a lady from a church that I grew up in. And she always made me feel important and special. And even as I got older, she always prayed for me. I knew that because she said, Harriet, I'm still praying for you. She prayed for when I was pregnant with Jaden. She prayed for when John and I moved up here. And so I was thinking about that. It's like how important, she was such an important part of my life. And just did, she was really strong in her faith. And so I know that she's with God. So I was thinking about that in our little church. There's so many people in here that make me feel blessed and important when I come in. And I know there's people in here that make you feel important. Now, you don't have to share. I asked Will if he wanted to mention anybody that when he comes to church, if there's someone special that, oh, there's so many people special, that makes him just feel important. Do you want to share anybody? No? Well, then I'll say things, names that he's told me. Is that okay? No? Well, I got to make it work for my sermon. It's okay. Well, I know he's mentioned Jill before, and he's mentioned Jill, how he loved when he goes down to Children's Church. He's like, I just really love Jill and how she, when she was down there, just made me feel, just makes me feel important and special. I'll use Jaden. He gave me someone. He said, he was listening to us. I was asking Will this morning. He goes, well, Jack. And I was like, well, what about Jack? He goes, well, I think because he asked me to do the communion and stuff, that really makes Jaden feel special. So, Adele, do you have anyone? I'm not putting you on the spot. You can say, no, that's okay. So just as you're thinking God or Jesus, he loves kids. And he always did. He never turned kids away. He wanted them to come up here. And you guys have such an important role in this church as well. Whether you know it, there's so many people that can make you feel special. But you make people feel special as well. So just always know that you're loved by people here and by Jesus, who would never turn you away if you were here. He'd always want you guys are so important. So let's pray, and so I want you guys to always know that. Dear God, thank you for these kids, Adele and Will, and everybody that's here. Let them always know that Jesus and God loves them. Let them always know that they have a place here, no matter how old they are or what they're going through, that they're always loved. Amen. Amen.
Why is that one word, that person's name?
Trust you guys to...
Not to worry. I think they'll be fine. They're good kids. We start hearing things shake. Yeah, it's like we're going to shake. We hear shake, rattle, and rolling going on. We'll send someone down to check. All right. We are wrapping up today the question, why church? And we've had a lot of things that we've discovered. And as I got ready to talk with God about this one this week, I had trouble. It got to be Friday morning. And I sat there and was like, okay, Lord, all week we've been thinking about this. You know, what do you want me to say? And I think there's a part of me that feels like... when I say, why church, and you should be here, you say, well, of course you want us to come to church, you're the pastor, that's your job. You're supposed to love church, you're in charge, you know. It's like going to the Ford dealer, and, you know, the man waxes eloquently about Fords and how he loves them. Well, it's his job, you know. He wants to get you to buy a Ford. I don't want you to get to buy a church, but, you know. I hope it's becoming clearer as we walk this road together with Jesus that here at Centerville, it is my goal, my job, if you will, but not to sell you a religion, not to sell you church, but to share Jesus with you. That's why we're here. I am passionate about church, though, just so you know. And I wanted to take a moment and review what we've talked about over the last several weeks. We started, first of all, by saying church was Jesus' idea. Remember that? We were in Matthew chapter 16, and he's, chapter 6. And he's talking with Peter, and he says to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, some think you're a prophet, some think you're this, some think you're that. And he says to them, who do you say that I am? And they're kind of quiet, and only Peter has the courage, and he says, you are the Son of the living God, the Messiah. You're it. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Peter, because the Spirit revealed that to you. Your name's now going to be Petros, rock, Peter the rock. And on this Petra, this confession of faith, that's what I'm going to build my church on. My church is built on simply the belief, the spoken belief of you are Lord. You're my Savior. Didn't call us to join a team of little isolated individuals, but he called us to become his church, his body. And we talked about how that church was going to be a place where everybody knows your name. Remember that song? And they're always glad you came. Yeah. Then we started looking at the first church in us. And we started in Acts chapter 2. We did verses 41 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing the meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. Right? We talked about what did the first church do? We've taken some time to look at that. What made this group unique and what made it attractive in the community around it? Because it was attractive to the community around it. The way they interacted with each other was so loving that people were added to their numbers every single day, and it grew by leaps and bounds. People are drawn to Jesus when they see us demonstrate our love for each other and for Jesus. People are drawn to that. Next, we talked about the first church was going to be united in mind and purpose, it says. Philippians 1 and 2 were our verses, and it went like this. Thank you, Jayden. A lot of fun happening there. Philippians 2, Paul writes, and he says, is there any encouragement for belonging to Christ? In other words, what's the benefit? You signed up for this. You've been working hard at this. Is there any benefit to it? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate that make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose? And we spent time talking about that. That one mind and one purpose, when we come together as a group, corporately, as individuals, we come together and we pray and we find our hearts knitted together. We talked about how when we come together and we pray together, we're knitted together. That's what it says. And then we have the ability to have that purpose that's united, those goals that come together. I can support your plan. You can support my plan. We come together in love to move forward toward a goal and bring God glory. And then we said, why church? And it was, you matter. Why church? Because you matter. You matter to each other, and you matter to God. We walk through these doors, and we see each other, and it brings a smile. We have shake and rotate, the big pig pile in the middle of the aisle, where you say, excuse me, pardon me. And we do that, we come together, because you matter. And when you're not here, we miss you. And when you come back, we're glad to have you back. And we learned that we can use how we're each individually, uniquely created to serve the body of Christ. A while back, we did a series on spiritual gifts. Remember, we took a little test. I still have those if you want them. How am I wired? What do I look like? What do I love to do? How's God made me? And how can I use that to care about other people here? We talked about gifts like teaching, the gift of giving. Did you know there's a gift called giving? Are you the kind of person who loves to write a check and have the ability to do so? That's a gift. That's a gift from God, it says in scriptures. Helping, serving, leadership, mercy, faith, hospitality, encouraging, pastoring, all kinds of ways we come together as unique people. We come together and we matter to one another. And then last week we talked about it's a gift. Not a guilt gift, remember that? We're not going to have a guilt gift. Not a duty. but that church is a gift, a precious gift that was given to us at great cost. A gift that we have the privilege of passing on to those God places in our everyday lives. And we talked especially about how church, our church, is going to be a place where hurting people can find healing. And we mentioned specifically that sometimes church is the place that actually did the wounding. There's a saying that went around for a long time: church is one of the few places that shoots its wounded. Yeah. It was a saying that went around in the 70s and 80s a lot. Why? Why? Because it's easy to get critical, isn't it? It's easy to look at other people and go, you know, if only they'd, you know, and then you do this, you know, right? You know how something good to say about somebody? Come sit by me. Is that what it turns into? It did. Yeah. And sometimes churches are the place that wounded people, and it's hard for them to get back in the doors. And how we are going to work together, it's a gift that we're going to share. We're going to share this. It's a place of healing, and that this will be a place where God's love is going to thrive. Because there are a lot of wounded people out there. So then, how do we sum all this up? How do we complete the circle? Finish painting in the picture. In Acts 2, the first thing that it says that they did as a church is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, I'm not an apostle, and you don't need to devote yourself to my teaching. But what were they doing in that instance? They were learning. Why, church? Hashtag never stop learning. I don't care how many times you've been through this book, there is more to learn. I don't know how many times you've said, I got this on Sunday. And by Wednesday, you're on your knees again saying, wow. You know, that went off track. We never stop learning. Being a part of Christ's family, being a part of his body, the church, requires an investment on our part. And it's an investment of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's the investment that we make. We're all aware, because we live in a community that loves sports, that joining a sports team requires an investment, does it not? It requires an investment as a player, yes? It requires an investment as the parent of a player. It requires an investment as a grandparent of a player. It requires effort. You need to invest your time, your resources. You go to practices so you can learn the needs of your team. We work to build up our skills. You listen to the coach. You sacrifice time. Cheer on our fellow team members. Laugh, struggle, disagree, reunite. It's all part of being on a team, isn't it? I'm not sure why we have the idea that being a part of God's team requires less of our hearts than being on an earthly sports team. Notice I didn't say it requires more religiosity. Don't you love that word? Does it require that you are doing more, checking more boxes? It requires our heart. That's what he's asking, your heart. Not more attendance, not more financial giving, not more volunteer hours. Being on God's team, church, if you will, means we're going to spend time learning how to have our hearts more in line with God's heart. And then the more I learn about God's heart, the more I'm going to surrender those things that I need to let go of so that I can be more like Christ, because that's my goal. It's part of growing. If I join the basketball team and I refuse to learn the plays, I just can't be bothered. If I half-heartedly practice my free throws, if I never really take the coach's advice to heart, I miss out on the opportunity to learn and grow and become a better player, to become an integral part of the team. The even better news is this: God doesn't have a performance standard that you have to reach. Isn't that good news? For those of you who can't play basketball like me, there is no standard of performance that we all have to reach. The good news is God is the coach, the leader, who knows you exactly and knows what you're capable of and what you're not capable of. And even better yet is being on God's team means everybody has the same value. It doesn't matter if you're the custodian who maintains the facilities, if you are the jersey washer in the laundromat, if you're working the concession stand, if you're sitting in the bleachers, if you're the water boy, it doesn't matter. We're all an equal part of God's team. But it means you have to engage. And when I say it means you have to show up, I don't mean inside these four walls. I mean you have to show up to engage with God. Be willing to listen. Be willing to try. Not really good at shooting, dribbling not really your thing, no worries. You can stand on the sidelines and cheer. Because everybody has a place on God's team. Everybody has a place in this church. And what Carrie had to say today perfectly dovetails with what we've been talking about. You matter. This team matters. It means that each one of us is afforded the same opportunities to learn and grow, but those are going to be uniquely tailored to you. So when you come here on Sunday mornings, or you come to a study, or you get together with one another, and you're going to talk about something, you get to ask the question, what would you have me learn today? I did a ladies' retreat, and I got there, and they had asked me ahead of time, do you have some notes you want us to hand out? I said, no. Just put some blank pages in there, in your little, you know, brochure thing. So they came and they sat down, and you can tell. Half the people are like, oh, good, no notes. And the other half are like, oh, great, what are we going to talk about? We're going to wander all over the place. There's not going to be a point to any of this, is there? If you're a person who likes to take notes, that makes you nervous. If you're a person who hates to take notes, you love it. But here's what I think is really important. When you come to church, when you come to a study, when you get together with one another, what we're saying is, what is God saying to me? I can give you blanks to fill in, and occasionally I do, because I think there's something we need to hang on to that, you know, you need to look at again and again. But most often, what I want you to do when you come is to have that open heart that says, what do you want me to hear? And that's what we come together to do, is to learn and to grow together. Our ladies' Bible study is a hoot. It is an awesome time. Some weeks we learn a lot, and some weeks I'm not sure we get much learning time. Some weeks grab you, and other weeks you're like, oh, what a waste of my time, you know, like I didn't learn anything new. Okay, you don't always learn anything new. What you do is you come together, and we grow together, and we learn together, and we learn to care more about each other together. Why church? Because we're all on the same team. The more we talk with God about what we're learning and what we're doing and what we're hearing, the more we have the opportunity to hear what he's saying back to us. Why church? We finished this series. Why church? Because like all the other times we gather in life, just as at any sporting event, you sit together on the bleachers, we cheer, you moan, the shot didn't go in. You give the ref a piece of your mind. No, no. Okay, maybe you do once in a while. With a bless your heart, turn on the end of that so that, you know, it sounds all right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Fred.
Makes an effort.
I know we're our teams.
This is church. This is what we do together. And you matter here. When you're here, things light up. When you're not here, we miss you. And then you come back, and we're so happy to see you again. We can't all make every family dinner, right? My dad's had family dinners on Monday. They were great. And after a while, you're like, okay, but this Monday I got something I have to do. That's what life is. But when we're here together, we're doing what God asked us to do, to be his body, to be his church. I've had several people share, and I've asked Ron and Maquette if they would come up today and share with us. They said, sure, they would be happy to do that. Isn't that what you said? Something like that?
I like sending sticks under half hour.
I'd known this, it would have been all off. No.
All right, on that side. Okay. Yeah. Why don't you tell us, how did you hear about Centerville Church? How'd you get here?
You said you were going to talk because nobody would believe anything you said.
We can't even agree on microphones.
Okay, I'll hold it. All right. How did you hear about Centerville Church?
Darlene and John invited us here. Mm-hmm. To come to the church.
Several times, and we
came. We knew Kent. Ken married us.
He did.
Yeah, 21 years ago. And so we knew Ken, and so we came to the church. We felt very comfortable here.
It was only a couple times though before he left. It was
just
like
before
right
left.
At the very end. Right.
And you came and showed the slides. I was very impressed with that of your trip.
Oh.
And we felt very comfortable here. And so we decided this is where we needed to be. And as a Christian, I was looking for a home.
Yeah.
I have been. I hadn't found a church that I really wanted to, that I felt comfortable in.
Yeah.
When I came here and you had open communion, which I've been to churches where you had to be a member.
Yeah.
And you had communion every Sunday.
For everybody.
So whether I was here this Sunday, that Sunday, I had communion that month or that time. So I felt very comfortable. And communion means a lot to me. And then when we got here, and I felt like I've known everybody here my whole life, which is a lot.
You haven't been to change your zip code, right?
I felt very much at home. And my brother was baptized in this church. And so I've been to church here before, and so I am very comfortable here.
So my story is different than his, because I've never been much of a churchgoer. The couple times I went, I viewed it as the people as very hypocritical.
Yeah.
And like you said, shoot their wounded. Well, where were you last Sunday? It's like, whoa. So that really turned me off. So this was the first time I came to a church where I really felt nobody was judgmental. If you were here, great. If you weren't here, it's okay too, and everybody embraces, especially the meet and greet. At first, that made me a little uncomfortable because, as some of you know,
as we learned in class together,
I used to be the hugger. But after a couple times, I thought I got into the joy of it, relaxed. And these people really are happy to see us. And, and then actually Bible studies and retreat has helped too, because I've gotten to know a lot of the ladies better.
Yeah.
So that always helps,
What keeps you here? You've been here for a while.
Best thing I've ever come into as far as learning religion. I mean, I know nothing about the Bible, so. And the first time that I heard you, when we walked out, I said, she's not a preacher, she's a teacher. She's not preaching at you.
So much.
Yes. She's teaching.
That's what I like.
And that's what keeps me coming back.
Awesome.
Not to mention her smile.
Thank you. You did great.
And no mic drop.
I think it's important to remember that everybody who comes here often, not always, sometimes they find us on Facebook, sometimes they see the ad in the paper, and no more the Yellow Pages. It used to be you went to the Yellow Pages, nobody does that anymore. But they come because somebody said, hey, you should come on down, come and see what we're doing. I think you might like it. And you put yourself out there. And then you come and you get to know one another, and then you become church. We're going to close with Romans 15. In Romans 15, Paul has been writing the Roman church, introducing himself a little bit, getting to know them, sharing things that he thinks they need to know. And they've gone through some hard stuff. They're combining a lot of people, not just that are Christians and new Christians, they're combining a lot of cultures. And some things are more familiar to some people and okay, and other things aren't okay. Some things they're comfortable with and some things they're not. They had a lot of temples there in Rome, and when you worshipped at a temple, you offered a sacrifice to that false god, and you would bring food. And they would offer that food, and then you could go to the bargain basement over there, and that food that had just been offered was then just sold on. It was a great price. And if you were poor, it was a great way to get food at a good price. And then came the question, is it okay to eat meat that's sacrificed to idols? Like, kind of became a conundrum. And so we're having all this discussion, and Paul writes to them to help ease their hearts, to lighten their load, to say, you have a conscience, follow it, and don't dictate to other people. You have a conscience, follow it, and don't make fun of somebody else if their conscience is different than yours. So he goes on to say this, Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even as Christ didn't live to please himself, as the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. We come together to find hope and encouragement in God's word and in each other. Verse 5, Paul says, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we have church. To come together in harmony and give praise and glory to God. Lord, we are so happy to be your church, to be your body, to be your people. Lord, will you give us wisdom as we work to love and serve in our community? Will you give us work that brings us joy? Will you give us opportunities to share what you're doing in our lives? And Lord, may this always be a place where we're learning and growing and loving together. Thank you again for sending your son to die for us and making this possible. And it's in his name we're going to pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Would you be standing? I pray that as you go through this week, you will find new opportunities for learning and growing. Go in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.